Thanks very much, Graham. Good morning to you all. Let's pray, shall we, just before we start. Father, thank you for graciously giving us the Bible. I pray that as we open it now, we would hear you speaking to us. Please help us to understand you better and how to live as your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, we have been working our way, if you've been with us, through the book of Acts, these latter chapters of Acts for a while, and they're probably a little bit less well known to us than the sort of exciting front end chapters. But in these chapters, we see the gospel. We've been thinking about the Christian message, the gospel, being lived out in an increasingly hostile situation, which makes it increasingly relevant for us, doesn't it? Because the world that we live in feels increasingly hostile to Christianity. If you're a Christian in wherever you might spend much of your time of the week, you'll probably be aware of a pressure, a sense of hostility at times, certainly misunderstanding. And as we get to this point, I think there's much we can learn from what Paul has to say. But Luke, just for a moment, to notice Luke at this point, when we get to chapter 21 and 22, he slows his story down. You may not realize this. There was an old film. You may not have seen this film. It's an old Kevin Costner film. It's called 13 Days. And it was about the 13 days of the Cuban Missile Crisis. Kevin Costner plays JFK. And it's this sort of intense pressure of the 13 days in which they tried to avert mass destruction. Now, Luke isn't quite doing 13 days, but he's doing 12 days, so similar. And it's not quite the Cuban Missile Crisis, it's the Pauline Mission Crisis. And Paul, from this point of chapter 21, we're going to look at chapter 22. For the next chapters through to 26, it covers 12 days where Paul is bound and he's under pressure. He is moved from place to place where he has to give five major defenses of who he is and his Christian beliefs. And it's as if Luke wants us to slow right down. You probably didn't realize necessarily how much time is given over to that in the back end of Acts. So this is what the gospel under pressure looks like. So it is worth paying attention to. And we need to ask where this hostility comes from. The speech that he has just given is to a Jewish crowd near the temple where Paul had gone. Ironically, he'd gone to show the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem that he was still orthodox and he was still loyal and he wasn't so radical. And he'd gone there, he'd been spotted by some opponents who'd seen him and had whipped up a crowd with the plan to kill him. And if you look at chapter 21, so hopefully you've got your Bible still open, glance back to chapter 21, verse 28 is the spark for this trouble he gets into. They had stirred up a crowd, shouting, verse 28 of chapter 21, "Men of Israel, help us. This is the man who teaches all men everywhere against our people, our law, and this place." So here he's got a Jewish crowd and they've whipped up opponents to try and kill Paul, saying, do you see, he's this guy, this former Pharisaic Jew, this chap is against everything that is important to our culture, every right and thing that we believe in, which again has a sort of contemporary ring, doesn't it, when you hear voices that will say that of Christianity. But Paul's response is really interesting and very helpful for us in working out how do you respond to this. He then stands and he gives a defense as he describes it. And the essence of what he says, and why it's so helpful, his testimony, he says, do you know, this Jewish crowd who are bent on killing him, he says, to all of you, I have dual citizenship. I really want you to hear me. He says, I have dual citizenship. I am from one of you. I am a loyal Jew in many ways. I'm a loyal Jew, but I have become a Christian. And he says, I have dual citizenship. We did this, obviously, at the first service. I forgot to mention, my own father has dual citizenship. So, Dad, if you're listening, I forgot. He has two passports. Some of you may have dual citizenship. You may know what that is, to have two parts of your identity and to be able to, and to try and navigate those two. And Paul says, and it's a bit of a surprise, I have dual citizenship. I'm a loyal Jew. I'm also a Christian. And even if you haven't got dual citizenship in the sense of two passports, as if you are a Christian this morning, you are called to dual citizenship and to work out what that means. We're going to think about that, and I think it can teach us quite a lot about how we face a hostile culture. And we're going to think about what dual citizenship means, as Paul describes it. We're going to think about how Jesus is absolutely crucial to the fact that it is dual citizenship. And then we'll think about the challenge that this presents to a world outside that that we face. So let's think, first of all, about a first point, taking dual citizenship seriously. And it's the big surprise in the passage. The speech that he gives, the surprise is that he says to them all, this crowd who will kill him, do you know, I am a loyal Jew. I take the worldly half of my citizenship really seriously. I take it really seriously. So have a look with me at the start of his speech. We'll read 1 down to 5. He starts off by saying, brothers and fathers, listen now to my defense. When they heard him speak to them in Aramaic, in their language, they became very quiet. Paul said, I'm a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia. I was brought up in this city, Jerusalem, under Gamaliel. I was thoroughly trained in the law of our fathers, was just as zealous for God as any of you are today. And he describes how he persecuted followers of this way. He arrested them and threw them into prison. Verse 5, even the high priest and all the council can testify to this, as in, you all know this. You know this. And I even went to Damascus to bring people as prisoners to Jerusalem to be punished. He says, I actually take the worldly half of my citizenship really very seriously. Do you see what he does? First of all, he affirms as much as he can to them. Even though they are hostile to him, he affirms as much as he can. So that opening, brothers and fathers, is as a sort of courteous word to them. Brothers, fathers, I am one of you. I come from your background. I am one of you. He stresses he does something that if you are British here, you'll know instinctively we don't like doing, really, which is talking ourselves up. We're not very good at it. We like to hide away. We don't really want to say, give our credentials. But Paul does that. He says, I was born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but I was brought up in this city. I was brought up in Jerusalem. I'm a Jerusalem-trained Jew under Gamaliel. I was thoroughly trained in the law of our fathers and was just as zealous for God as any of you are today. So, you know, my credentials are good. We don't like saying I went to this university or I'm in this field or I have this job or I have this salary. And it's not very British. We don't like that sort of thing. But Paul is trying to reach them and connect with them in ways they will understand. And so he stresses his orthodoxy as well. Do you know, he said, I was as zealous for God as any of you are today. He's trying to affirm as much as he can, and he is trying to make the effort to speak a language they will understand. Glance on a bit to verse 12, where he talks about the role of Ananias, who came in to see me. He says, Ananias. You notice he describes him as this man, Ananias, a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all of you, all the Jews living there. Now, he's got a little bit of gumption, hasn't he? Because do you know who Ananias is? Ananias is a Christian. He's the Christian who came to Paul to talk about Jesus. And he's saying, Ananias, he's also a devout observer of the law. He's trying to reach out and say, you know Ananias, and he is important. And then, with the greatest of tact and thoughtfulness, when he goes on in verse 14, would you look down at where he says, the God of our fathers, and Ananias' words, the God of our fathers has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one. And the righteous one is, of course, Jesus. The Jesus they couldn't cope with, but the righteous one is the language they understood. And he is trying to reach them and connect with them. Do you see what he is doing? Now, he's saying, I take the worldly half of my citizenship very seriously. Now, he's not saying, that they have the way of salvation. But he is not answering their hostility with his own hostility. They have just tried to kill him. And he is trying to reach them. I don't know what your particular field or your culture, so to speak, or background, the place you've come from is. I have very interesting conversations when I chat with you guys about some of you who are, work in the field of science or perhaps of business in the center of town. And I'm always struck by how many in our church work in the creative industries. We're a very creative city, and whether that's music or the media or the academy or some field of sporting endeavor, what is the culture that you spend much of your time in, the field that you're in? I wonder if the greatest difficulty we have when we're there is engaging with that field authentically. Engaging authentically where we are in the place that God has placed us. So when it comes to the world that you might be in, whether it's a business or a science field, do we affirm as far as we can what is good and what is right? Do we affirm worthy endeavor in the field that you are in? Even if people don't fully understand the other side of your citizenship. Christians often have a reputation, whether it's right or wrong, of being skeptical about everything the world does. Do we seek to connect with people and affirm as far as we can for the sake of the gospel? Perhaps in the student culture that you have, or the university world, or the college that you are in, do you affirm insofar as you can what is good and right? Do you try and listen and speak the language that people will understand? This sometimes even going so far as to talk about your credibility. I know this is not easy for us, but if you are, somebody once was speaking on this and pennies dropped for me. If you are in any field, particularly any of the creative, anything with a creative dimension to it, whether it is music or the arts, research, whatever it might be, you will have to prove your credibility in that field before people will begin to hear you as a Christian. Now that takes time, it takes effort, it is a long game, it is not easy, and I appreciate this is complex. I'm not trying to suggest that you make these things an idol, but there are sometimes when you need to be able to prove your credibility, and then when people understand you musically, artistically, in the research you do, then they may hear the other half of your citizenship. So that is one half of the challenge. The second half of the challenge is obviously to not shrink from the other side of our citizenship. So, secondly, Paul takes us down this avenue, which is to showing Jesus is why. It's not just one, it is two. It is dual citizenship. Have a look at verse 6, where he picks up his story and says, suddenly, it's a sort of very abrupt thing. He's going to talk about how Jesus has redirected him. And it literally, it drops out of the sky. So about noon, it's on this Damascus road, I came near Damascus, suddenly a bright light from heaven flashed around me, I fell to the ground, and heard a voice say to me, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? I asked. I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting, he replied. My companions saw the light, but they did not understand the voice of him who was speaking to me. What shall I do, Lord? I asked. Get up, the Lord said. Go into Damascus. There you'll be told all that you have been assigned to do. And my companions led me by the hand into Damascus because the brilliance of the light had blinded me. He asked the question, who are you, Lord? Which is a fair question, given what's just happened to him. Who are you? Who is this person who has intervened in my life? And the answer comes back, Jesus of Nazareth, which is the little bit of extra information we get from this account in Acts chapter 9, where he just says, I am Jesus. I am Jesus of Nazareth. Paul says, remember, he's speaking to them. They would know Nazareth. That man that you had heard of, Jesus of Nazareth, that man in time, that person in history, has redirected my life. He has changed its course. And it came from outside. It came from an intervention. I didn't plan it this way. I didn't sort of plan to be here and say, this is the story of the life I wanted. But from outside, the Lord Jesus intervened and redirected my citizenship. And I guess if we sort of reflect on our own lives, it's the straightforward, it's not easy, but it's the straightforward part of Christian testimony, isn't it? In some way or other, my life was going in this direction, and the person, the Lord Jesus, redirected it. Now, that might have been over a long period of time. It might have been through your youth and growing up. It may have come at a point of high noon on a particular road. But in some way or other, my life was going in one way, and Jesus has redirected my citizenship. So you might say I am a scientist, but I am a Christian who is a scientist. I am a musician, but I am a Christian who is a musician. Whenever the Ministry to Business, Pete Horlock and his team organize an event and they have somebody come and stand and say, I work in this industry, I'm a leader in this field, but I am a Christian. That is what they're doing. They are doing what Paul does. So do you see how he is taking both sides of this seriously? But this is the difficult bit, isn't it? This is the difficult bit. And let me be very, very blunt. I suspect the difficulty comes down to crossing the threshold of saying to somebody, I wouldn't necessarily have thought it either, but an historical person, Jesus Christ, has redirected my life. And crossing that threshold can be very, really very hard. A friend at work years ago, in the place that I worked, came back from having had a time away in the sort of Middle East area, and she came back. I was getting to know her at the time, and she came back and said, I had a religious experience, a spiritual experience while I was away. It was, she was trying to make sense of it and process what had happened. She'd been away and had felt this extraordinary sort of changing in her life. And she wanted to talk about it. And we're in our workplace and she wanted to say, I had this. And there was this kind of, it was an early morning and so on. And as she was beginning to tell me this, I didn't know her that well at the time, I was thinking, it's time you told her you're a Christian, Paul. You're really going to have to do that now, aren't you? As she's leading the conversation down this way, there's really no else that we can go now. I've got to say, I think I might know what you're talking about, but I think it relates to Jesus Christ. And that threshold can feel very painful to cross. But that is the essence of Christian testimony. And you do, and I do, need to cross that threshold. And I've in thinking about this week, I think, there are contexts where that is much harder than it is for some than others. And I appreciate that, particularly at university, that can be or at college, that can be a very difficult place to cross that threshold. And in some work contexts, it can be very difficult to cross that threshold. My only reflection is that the earlier you do it, the easier it is. It gets much harder the more you know somebody and you haven't told them that. So let's reflect. There's two halves to this citizenship. And Paul is saying, I take both of them very seriously, trying to affirm what I can to connect in the field that I am, but being very clear about how Jesus has redirected the priorities, the decision-making, the way I go about my work in this field, the way I go about my life in this field. And when that happens, when those two come together, you end up with a third point. And that is that it begins to present a very humble but a very real challenge to the outside world. Let's have a look at what he does. And you might be surprised again. I think what he does is more modest than even we might think. He, in effect, turns to this crowd, this hostile crowd, and he says, my life has been redirected. What do you make of that? How would you account for this? It's basically what he says. Let's have a look at verse 17, where he describes what happened. He goes back to Jerusalem. He prays at the temple. Again, he's still affirming what they would understand. He's praying at the temple. I fell into a trance. I saw the Lord speaking. Quick, he said to me, leave Jerusalem immediately because they will not accept your testimony about me. Lord, I replied, these men know that I went from one synagogue to another to imprison and beat those who believe in you. Paul is standing there saying, God, you've put me in quite a predicament here. I used to persecute these people. I used to beat them. So when earlier on, it was almost one of his credentials was, I used to arrest, I had letters to go and round people up. I used to be a persecutor. And he's saying to them, I had this message from the Lord Jesus saying, you're going to have to leave because of that. You're going to have to go. He says, you know I did this. The blood of your martyr Stephen was shed. I was standing there. He said, you're going to have to go. Verse 21, I will send you away. Because of that, I will send you away. And he's saying to them, I used to persecute Christians to the utmost. And God has turned that persecutor into one of his followers. Please tell me how you account for that. Please tell me how you would account for that. And sometimes that is the essence of what you are doing. We are saying to somebody, my life was going in this way, and this person, the Lord Jesus, has redirected it. Please, if you've got a better account for that, tell me. He places the challenge out there. He leaves them something to think about. He doesn't go through all the answers he might have to everything. But he says, please, can you account for that? Because that is what, I'm the arch persecutor, and I'm now his follower. And somebody may be a long way back from understanding who Jesus is, but they may understand who you are, and to be able to say to them, this is the change in my life, what do you make of it? It's the thought that you plant in their heads and leave them with the implication that people may not still understand. Verse 22, the crowd listened to Paul until he said this, and they raised their voice and shouted, rid the earth of him, he's not fit to live. So if that's the reaction you get, you are following the footsteps of Paul. But you see, he is a dual citizen, and he will not always be understood. And if you know what dual citizenship is like, there are times when it will feel like you are an alien in one culture. And the challenge is always to remember that you're not alone, that there is a motherland back there where people do understand. And Paul has that same challenge to think at this point, although it may feel like it, I'm not alone. There are other Christians, sure. And there is the Lord Jesus himself. The Lord Jesus who walked this path, who faced this rejection himself. They shouted, rid the earth of him. He's not fit to live. Earlier in chapter 1, they used the words, away with him. It's the very phrase they used of Jesus in Luke's account of the trial of Jesus, where they said, away with him. And so the pattern that Paul has is the pattern of the Lord Jesus. And we shouldn't expect anything that is markedly different from that. And so we pray for ourselves that we would be able to navigate that path through our dual citizenship, to affirm, to connect with people, but not to shrink from what we know to be the redirection of our life by the Lord Jesus. Because it is part of the testimony, part of the witness that we have, that we say, how do you account for that? Should we pray together? Gracious Father, you know the circumstances, you know the places that we will go out to into this week, and you know how hard or challenging it is to lead that dual citizenship that takes seriously the place that you have called us to and yet does not shy away from acknowledging that you have stepped into our lives and redirected us as your people. Father, equip us, encourage us in that. We may we see the challenge that it presents to others and embolden us to do so. In Jesus' name, amen.